guests of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, it's Sunday, and it's 2 days before massive elections statewide and across the nation. Good morning, everybody. We're going to be
talking. Some other people have already survived the election.
Yeah, we're going to be talking elections and polling and opinions and this measure and this candidate and that candidate. And we'd love to have you call in. The telephone number is 530-605-4567. And if I didn't say it, you are joining We the People. And I am Elizabeth.
We the People
Woodward.
Radio.
Yes, with Aaron Ryan and Bob Martin. A two-hour show.
Ladies.
Good morning.
Bob, our supervisor, was here just moments before I was at 8:01.
Bob, the boss.
That's not true. I was here at 7:58.
Oh, 7:58. Oh, my clock said 8:01. I was so excited. I was actually going to be here before the music started, and then you were right in front of me. I was like, yes, I'm not late. Okay, I was
all right. I was doing show prep elsewhere this morning.
Yeah, you were. Yeah,
you were doing it
mobily.
We forced Bob to work 24/7 for us. And Robert, yeah, and Robert out there with the webpage.
Yeah,
see, on today's show, it's like he kept changing the topic and changing the guests and changing the links.
Yeah, so their work doesn't start when they walk in the door here.
No.
Yes, we did have a lot of last-minute revisions for the program this morning, but we're good. We're flexible.
Well, cool revisions, yeah.
We fly by the seat of our pants. And speaking of the webpage, it's at wethepeopleradio.us, and it will tell you everything that we're doing today. Every show that we've ever done has a direct link. Click on any one of them. Email them out to everyone you know. The beauty of this show is that you will find out things that you will never hear in mainstream media. Seriously.
Well, you might hear part of it.
No.
Like our guest in Hour 2. He was on Varney and Company the other day, and so he's a regular contributor out in the big world, but you won't get to chat with him.
There you go.
Stuart Varney, not Jim Varney.
Oh, I don't know Jim Varney. Who's Jim Varney?
Well, he's no longer alive, but he was Ernest.
That's why you don't know him.
Ernest Goes to Camp.
Oh, that was his name?
That was Jim Varney.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I remember
gosh,
that.
You are a trivia.
I remember that.
Whatever they call those people.
So, anyway, we would love to hear from you and what you think and what your thoughts are. Give us a call. I've given you the number, but I'll give it to you one more time, 530-605-4567. Doesn't matter where you live. There's elections going on everywhere on Tuesday.
Yeah, and jump on the chat room. That's an easy way to ask a question.
Absolutely.
A lot of people don't like to call in. I don't know. I never call into radio. But the chat room is an easy way to do it. And, okay, what was the other thing? Uh-oh, the phone's ringing. We're probably in trouble,
Somebody's
actually.
Somebody's already got an opinion right
now. No, we're probably
right
in trouble. Okay, I'm probably in trouble.
Now,
the good news is I get blamed for everything. You can do whatever you want, Elizabeth.
Well, and the bad news is that I could be standing in the room and nobody will notice me, which can be good and bad.
I need to get 1,000 tiny violins to play I'm So Sorry.
That's all right. That's okay.
And then you can get 1,000 violins to play I'm So Sorry that I get blamed for everything.
I have learned how to use that to my advantage.
All right. The phones are going crazy. We have Mike Adams from Horse Creek on line one.
Mike Adams, what's going on in beautiful downtown Horse Creek?
Yeah, how you doing?
We're super. Uh-oh, Elizabeth's sound is on.
Sorry.
That incredible echo you're hearing is Elizabeth's computer.
Sorry.
Okay, go on.
Go on, me?
Yes, go on, now that we're not echoing anymore.
Okay. Did you read that election officials throughout California missed a deadline to send 8,250...
Yes.
Ballots out to the overseas military forces.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that was an accident. Isn't that repulsive?
That is a deal breaker.
I know.
Absolutely.
And it was out of San Diego, wasn't it? Didn't it have something to do with San Diego?
No, it says 11 of the 26 counties failed to get them out in time.
Oh, okay. Maybe the one I read was just about San Diego, but yeah. How does that work? So these guys.
I'll tell you how that works. We failed to have an election. As far as I'm concerned, we have failed to hold a legal election.
Yeah.
Our people that are overseas fighting for our freedom, and we don't give them the opportunity to vote.
Yeah, that is obviously not, well, I was going to say that's not the goal, but you have to,
there's
I don't
a word
know,
for it, but I can't say it on the air.
Stupid?
In it. No, oh. It's worse.
Yeah, stuff like that, you go, well, gosh, is that real? Is that, did somebody do that, you know? I mean, I don't know how you would mastermind such a thing. Seems like
well,
it'd be kind of hard.
Okay, but how do 11 of the 26 counties fail to do it?
Yeah, I know. That's
and
not good.
Yet, well, you know, the others happen to get it done right. No, I think that's an absolute deal breaker. That's equal to, if not as bad, as
it's
having
evil.
Our votes go overseas to be counted.
It's actually evil.
It's
criminal.
Bob, you want to weigh in on this? Now that you've been doing something else, you probably have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, I was busy with line two. There,
I know,
so,
I was just messing with you.
Yeah. not a good time to ask.
You're just messing with you. Just say it's horrible.
I'll just tell you, since you asked, Terry is on line two when you're done with Mike.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when we're done ringing you out, Mike.
Okay.
Actually, I was busy ringing out Bob. Mike,
yes.
Thank you. Do you have any other hot election tips? Election observations.
To vote, it's important.
So what do you tell all the folks that say, oh, it doesn't matter, it's just not going to matter? Like, okay, in light of the recent information you brought to light, it doesn't matter, it's all rigged.
I simply say, if it doesn't matter, then don't bitch at me.
Well,
If you don't vote, you have no right to complain. By at least voting, you've anteed up your ante in the poker game to complain.
There you go.
I absolutely agree with that.
And it kind of sounds really, at some point, because I've never done it. I've never been a poll watcher or anything like that. But, you know, it'd be nice if people took a more active hand in that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know how long you would have to, I mean, how far in advance you would have to send ballots out to hit the military. But each of our communities, we probably should pay attention and call our election folks, you know, and make sure that those things have been done. I mean, there's no reason we as citizens can't double check on that stuff.
Well, and maybe what you do in your own local community is you gather the families together, make sure those absentee ballots are mailed to the families, and then you coordinate the families to get them out. I mean, instead of relying on our government officials to get those ballots out, maybe we need to take care of it ourselves.
I think there's some requirement that they have to send them directly to the people rather than...
Yeah, there may be. I'm not sure.
But, I know the 7 years that I was in the service, I never got to vote.
Wow.
Because getting an absentee ballot to me overseas was difficult. And then when I was stationed, you know, in the U.S., that... Getting the day off to go vote? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, not exactly handy there, is it?
Not exactly handy. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for your service, and thanks for being plugged into the election process. Tell a friend, because turnout is, I would say relatively low at this point.
I'm afraid, yeah, it is. Of course, now the other side of it. By the time we get to our point here, the presidential election's pretty well picked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, isn't it funny how by the time it gets to the West Coast, it's a done deal?
Yeah, but look, in light of our voting record out here, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah. No, that's true. Here we're all sitting at the Holiday Inn, and by the time, we're just getting our first glass of wine, and it's done.
Well, but, you know, the other side of it, we have local elections, we have state elections, we have congressmen, representatives to select, and they're equally important. If we think about the president, he only runs the executive branch, or is supposed to run the executive branch.
In our imaginary world, that's what it used to be.
In our imaginary world, that's what it used to be. But it's our congressmen and our senators that actually make the laws, or supposed to make the laws, that we live under.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there goes my imaginary world.
Yeah, I know. You kind of burst the bubble for a lot of folks.
Yeah, hey, I guess I'll go have a conversation with Willard, huh?
There you go. Hey, enjoy your morning. We'll see you later.
You
bye,
too.
Mike.
Bye.
Thanks, Mike.
Uh-huh.
All right. Should we take a swift break and then come back to Terry? Should we keep him hostage?
I'm still trying to figure out if a conversation with Willard is something that shouldn't have gotten on the air or not. I'm not familiar with that expression.
Well, I guess the 7 second, we just said something bad and we bleeped you out button didn't, we needed to be a little more intuitive. And the phone's still ringing.
It's so
swiftly,
hard.
Swiftly, we will take our first break. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to We the People Radio. Check us on the web, wethepeopleradio.us. Jump on the chat room. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. KPNR 1460.
I'm Patrick Henry Jones, running for Supervisor, District 3. One of my opponents, while she was serving on the State Board of Forestry and Fire Protection, approved an illegal and unconstitutional fire tax. We've already paid for fire protection. I will not support any new taxes of this type. It's time for proven leadership in Shasta County. And as always, I will support a two-term limit and will refuse all retirement and health care benefits. Vote Patrick Henry Jones, District 3 Supervisor. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Henry Jones, 2012.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
You worked hard to get to this point. You eat properly and take care of yourself. There are just a few areas that still are giving you problems. That's where we come in. We can help sculpt those trouble spots. Body Genesis. 356-2590. Man made better.
We need help in the state of California, and Brian Daly is the one to do it.
I think the debt-free record that Lassen County has is a good representation of what Brian will represent in Sacramento.
He's a guy that you can trust, that's going to get the job done. He's going to work relentlessly hard at everything he does.
What strikes me about Brian is his honesty.
Brian Daly has done a wonderful job in Lassen County. We are debt-free now.
On June 5th, I will vote for Brian Daly.
Vote to send Brian Daly to the California Assembly. Paid for by Daly for Assembly 2012.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Help me to the star. Help me make the most of freedom and of pleasure. Nothing ever lasts forever. Everybody wants to join.
I can't help but sing along, you know? Who was that?
As Tears for Fears. Everybody wants to rule the world. We're helping you to decide.
So, true. So you don't have the album?
I don't. Final
how
or
old
final.
Is, how old does that make me?
God, no kidding.
That album.
Welcome back to We the People Radio. We're talking about elections and voting and military and propositions and candidates and
propaganda.
So
propositions 28 and 29 would be the two that qualify for propaganda.
Yeah, no kidding. I want to hear from you. And on that note, we've got Terry on the line. Thanks for hanging in.
Hey, ladies, how you doing?
Hi.
Hey, I want to give a big shout out to the Billy Seester. I know he'll love that.
You said shout out. Bill's head just exploded.
A couple of interesting things. About a week and a half ago, Silas Lyons was on Carl Bott, and I called in and I asked two questions. The first question is, when you write an editorial piece or you give an opinion about elections, whose opinion is this? Well, he told me it was a good question, that being Silas Lyons, and he said that it was the opinion of three people on the editorial staff. Secondly, my question was, well, how much is a full-page ad? Because I realize that ads make more money for the newspaper than tabloids do. We see the Target and Rite Aid and all those insertions that go into the paper. That's just an insertion charge. They have somebody else print it up, so the Record Searchlight only makes money off insertion. So I asked him that question. Well, he didn't know the answer, but Carl Bott did. Carl said that he had heard it was $6,000. Well, this last week there was an editorial that had talked about three candidates who received money from Mr. Anselmo. And because they're running for supervisor, the record searchlight position was they could be compromised on how they would deal with Mr. Anselmo. Well, the question I had when I called in was basically that if, in fact, the record searchlight gets $6,000 on a full-page ad from the Hawkins Company every week,
exactly,
wouldn't that have some sort of influence over what they do, since money is hard to come by and the paper, as we all know, gets thinner and thinner and thinner? And if you look at today's paper, there's an editorial on the record searchlight, those three people's opinion on who should be winning in the elections, and also what they believe in the measures. And interestingly enough, they're voting yes on Measure A. I don't have a dog in the hunt, but, I mean, come on. $6,000 a week?
It's funny. I don't really think the newspapers should endorse. That's my opinion. However, I don't have any issue with what anyone makes during the election season. I mean, it's a profitable time.
Can be.
It can be for radio stations, newspapers, whoever. But I believe that if you have the potential to seriously influence, I really don't think you ought to take a stand.
See, and they'll say, well, it's just one opinion. Uh-oh. Did something bad just happen?
No, we're good. I just put, there's some guy on line one. Who
some guy.
Some guy.
Claims to be a candidate.
Oh, okay. And what's his name?
Can we?
Doug.
Oh, can we call him some
guy?
He's calling from a pancake breakfast. Terry?
Yes, just one quick thing.
Yes.
The only thing about the receiving the money every week is that the same argument can be made that maybe the record searchlight is being swayed by money they're receiving as the candidates may be swayed. It's sort of the same argument.
Sure, sure. Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, I mean, I kind of like the way the Tea Party does it. You know, there's no endorsement, but the straw poll is always published. So this is just an opinion of the folks who attended at that time. Be kind of cool if the newspaper did a straw poll and published that alongside with their editorial thing, so that way the citizenry could weigh in.
Well, unfortunately, this whole political game is it just isn't fair. I mean, it's it's profitable, it's lucrative, and a lot of people stand to gain a lot.
Sure, but that's kind of like saying if you're smart, it's not fair. You know, we gotta make we gotta dumb it all down so we're all the same. I'm not really a big fan of that.
Mm-mm.
Great program, ladies. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Terry.
And let's see. Have we successfully clicked over to line two?
Doug is on line one, but
line one.
Not that it matters.
I've completely lost track of the lines.
Good morning, that guy.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Am I on line one or line two?
You're line one, actually. So,
all right.
So don't do what line two was going to do.
How you doing this morning?
Good. Hey, we are running it. We thought we ought to do a little election stuff before Tuesday. So, I know we have a few candidates calling in, and
is there an election this week?
Yeah, thank goodness. It's almost over.
On the,
I'm ready.
Off chance, there's anybody listening who's not in on the joke. This is Doug LaMalfa on line one.
That guy.
Who's currently our state senator, who's presently running for Congressional District 1 for Congress, which would be why it's a congressional district.
And you are a big fan.
I'm a big fan. All right, so fire away. What do you see out there? What do you hear from the folks?
What do I hear? They still just would like to be left alone by government, pretty much. So let us do our jobs and not need to be permitted or feed to death in order to do those jobs. So that's the easy part. Interestingly, though, there's still not a lot of people tuned into the election out there other than maybe just the highlights, you know. So
the low lights, depending on which.
And do you think that does that have much to do with the fact that it's a primary and not a general election? Historically,
it usually does, and there's not any really big initiatives on the ballot to drive people. And you know, since the presidential is pretty much decided on both sides, that's not drawing people out. So the turnout is expected to be one of the worst turnouts in some time.
I mean, the thing is that this is when so much of the local elections and local decisions are made, and that's really what impacts people the most. It seems to me that it would be incredibly important to turn out at the primary.
It's you can't make them turn it.
No.
It's important both times, and with the mail-in ballots, that you couldn't make it much easier to do either.
Sure.
So,
What do you see as something that just people out there, you know, not folks connected with a campaign, not people who work in the political field, but just regular people, what can they do between now and Tuesday, and just in your opinion, to encourage people to get out?
Call 10 or 20 of their folks or whatever. That, you know, people, the vote is the most important way to shape the direction of your state or your country for the next 2 to 4 years. Or with the U.S. Senate, 6 years, you know, so don't complain if you didn't do it. and so there's really not an excuse. I mean, this is something that blood has been shed for the right for in this country, and people just dismiss it. There's nothing like, you know, a person who's an immigrant, you know, a legal immigrant, who's come here and played by the rules, that maybe has lived under a East Europe regime that have. You won't find anybody that appreciates this country more than someone that's been somewhere else. And so they shake their head when you talk to somebody like that about how, you know, dissatisfied or how checked out many Americans are on these processes.
You're covering 11 counties in this congressional campaign. 11.
Yeah, not 10.
Yeah, not 10 as we've heard so often. In those 11 counties, that's a ton of geography. So we have a lot of land mass to cover. So as you go, and the communities are similar, but I mean, you know, you have high desert, you have, you have farmers, you have ranchers, you have people who live in little towns, big towns. Is there any, besides the regulation and all that, what's the most common question you get asked?
Are you going to reel this government in? Are you going to get it under control with, the spending, with silly things like high-speed rail? I'll harp on that again. Are you guys going to focus on the things either in Sacramento right now or back in D.C., should you be elected, that are important instead of all this fluff? I mean, people are offended by what they read with just a little example, this GSA thing. These guys running off to Las Vegas and partying it up. Well, what do they actually produce anyway? What is their purpose? And that's a question we need to ask about government at all levels, because regular people out there, when they run out of money, when they got to cut back, they got to do it. We don't just, go to the taxpayer. They don't get to go to the taxpayer and just say, hey, I'm going to commandeer more of your wallet, and nor should they. But it's very discouraging for them to see the same waste go on and on. That's why in this process here that we have to surgically trim back what government does, you know, not just say, hey, bureaucrat, go cut 10%, but define for them. Because you tell a bureaucrat what to do, well, I'll just cut the service that you want and hold you hostage, kind of like that, you know, the Washington Memorial strategy is what they call it, you know, with take away things people want.
Yeah.
And that will force them, perhaps, to vote for taxes. Though I got to say, right now, with Uncle Jerry's tax proposals that are out there, these things are tanking. So they're threatening schools, they're threatening everything else.
But don't they always pull out the emotional...
school, police, and fire.
The emotional propaganda, the emotional blackmail.
Mm-hmm. Well, is it politics?
Yeah. But they never talk about... They never talk about cutting seven-layer bean-dip bureaucracy, ever. I mean, we're not going to cut in the environmental agencies. We're not going to make changes in any kind of bureaucracy, but we're going to go straight for the kids and your safety.
The kids,
I'm
with
so
the
sick of that.
Kids, police, fire, libraries, all that stuff that people actually like. And there never seems to be money for that. I mean, we're closing down prisons in the state and forcing them back into the jails. And so the jails are now jammed or inoperable. So you have guys that would normally be detained for lesser stuff that are now just getting out on their own recognition, you know, or whatever.
And the biggest problem is all day they can say that they're going to take these new taxes and apply them to the schools and to the public safety. They can say that all day long.
They never do.
They never do. I think every dime.
And that moment of silence was in honor of all the people who believe that that's going to happen.
And I think literally that every dime of it goes to pay retirements. I really do.
Of course it does.
Unfunded liabilities.
You are obviously on the road because we can hear the cars go by. So before you have to go again, I brought the latest press release on the high cost rail. Interestingly enough, we have Joe Vranich on the second hour today. I had no idea he had any connection to high speed rail, but it turns out he was a big high speed rail proponent, wrote a book about it, and now is a huge opponent, because of the cost and all that stuff. But
that cost thing keeps coming up in this
state. So unfortunate, and the extra unfortunate thing for the folks who don't follow the California State Legislature and or the little blurbs that come out from the Senate. Interesting that Parsons Brinckerhoff holds a $200 million contract with the authority, and prepared the most recent rail business plan outlining a system that's smaller, slower, and twice the price. And now that guy is going to be the chief contractor. He's in charge of the whole thing now.
Yeah, isn't that cozy?
Yeah, that's handy. Gosh, talk about hiring from within.
Yeah, they did a nationwide search, and they went down to the local Caltrans there. And stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, he might be just a heck of a nice guy and all that stuff.
So
but,
does that mean that everybody that works on high speed rail is going to be wearing orange vests?
Of course.
Like five of them are going to be
looking
supervising the one guy that's working. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to get drawn into that because then
I'm sorry.
That was hate baiting. You were hate baiting again.
I'm terrible,
Elizabeth.
I have a real sarcastic streak, and I work hard to keep it in check.
You'll get me into the old shovel leaning line there.
Exactly. All sorts of bad things are going to happen. We'll just have to end it by saying it's going to be awesome.
Awesome, yeah. Good, awesome, bad, awesome.
Yeah.
So, well, we have the petitions for Revote the Rail, revoterail.com, to put high-speed rail on the ballot. I know you guys are probably tired of hearing it out there in radio.
No, actually, I kind of forgot about it. Thank you for saying that. Revoterail.com.
Single biggest thing we can do to save money for the state, as you're reading, it's the largest infrastructure project in the nation, and I guess in history. I mean, I think of great stuff like Hoover Dam, interstate system. No, we got a little railroad that's going to go from here to here in California. No one's going to be riding it, and we're going to have to pay $200 billion over by the time it's all said and done in the real
now. And how much has been invested in it so far, and how much of what's been invested has actually resulted in shovels and dirt?
Well, in one sense, we haven't broken any ground anywhere as a state, which is good because that means people's property hasn't been seized, you know, for eminent domain and all that. So far, and I'll put this in quotes, we've seized about $600 million, which I know that could have gone for a lot of other things.
And
but
hasn't that
what
gone?
What I'm trying to head off, that's less than 1% of the whole thing.
Jeez.
I'm trying to head off the next 120 to 150. All told, by the time this thing is done, 30 years from now, I'm expecting it'll hit 200.
Billion.
So,
with a B.
Yeah. So
that's insane.
So we're going to save a ton of money by not doing this. Instead, let's invest in our broken up highways and bridges and all that, which is supposedly the stimulus supposed to be shovel ready a few years ago, doing things like that, and they forgot about it. So, you know, let's save the money and do things that people really need. Anybody can use the interstate. Anybody can use the highway, has a car, but high speed rail, you have to, you know, drive miles and miles and get on it and get a ticket and then have someone pick you up at the other end. So
what's been spent so far has primarily been invested in building bureaucracy and studies and
public relations
and
staff
and trips
and
other places to learn
lobbyists in D.C.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing. They're spending on a lot of stuff that doesn't build anything, which in one sense we should be happy they haven't built anything.
Yeah.
That's when the real big money starts kicking in. So this legislature, as soon as this budget is finished, supposedly June 15, will be tackling what are they going to do about the first, you know, almost $3 billion of state bond money that they want this summer. And this guy LaHood from back in D.C., you know, he's been out here saying, you guys better get started soon or we're going to take our $3 billion back. So all this contorting is over, basically just the $3 billion of stimulus money that the feds have promised. We're going to commit, you know, $100 billion, whatever number you want to assign to it, or to save $3 billion before the end of the year. And so it's crazy because the plan isn't developed and it isn't real. and yet they're just all these contortions just so they don't lose that little $3 billion coupon.
Super spooky. All right. Well, we're going to have to sign off here for a commercial, so we'll let you get on with your day, because I'm sure you have to see tons of people today. And
I got some pancakes to eat right now, so we'll see you guys. And,
what town are you in?
Dairyville, down in Tehama County.
Beautiful downtown Dairyville for pancakes.
Come down to the school. They're here till 11.
Nice. Right on.
Okay.
Senator LaMalfa, we appreciate the call.
We'll see you. Thank you.
Bye. You are listening to We the People Radio. Check us out on the web, wethepeopleradio.us, here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Evolution, revolution, gun control, sound of soul, shooting rockets to the moon.
These two questions. How many vacant buildings do we have now? Do we really need more retail stores in this area? We have only one opportunity to grow. Let's grow wisely. Churn Creek Bottom is fighting a big war on Measure A and Measure B. They need your help. It's no way on Measure A, and it's clear to see it's yes siree on Measure B. The homeowners of Churn Creek Bottom don't have a lot of money to fight this battle, but what they do have is the truth. They're not a big out-of-state company. They're local homeowners fighting to protect and preserve prime farmland in Shasta County, paid for by the Churn Creek Bottom homeowners and friends.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Hi, this is Ron Lim from Lim's Pharmacy. My staff and I would like to invite you to come and try our personalized, fast, friendly service that has always been the foundation of our pharmacy. We have been serving the Redding area for over 30 years. We solve insurance problems quickly and efficiently. We accept Medi-Cal, work comp, and most insurances. Lim's Pharmacy is located inside the Shasta Community Health Center at Placer and Continental Streets. And you don't have to be a patient of the clinic to come to us. Call us at 241-8700 for more info. Thank you.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Compliments of Sting. Clearly, there's no shortage of politics in the arts.
That's pretty funny.
They've been a favorite topic, musically speaking, over the years.
Yep.
I'll tell you what.
No shortage. So we're going to talk about Prop 28 and Prop 29.
Yeah.
Kind of important.
Well, and you know, just in general.
Speaking of propaganda.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, and you know, just in general for all those people that are, you know, disillusioned and angry and grumpy and, you know, just don't want to look at the issues, don't want to talk about what's happening. There are a lot of good people running. There are a lot of good people running. You can figure out a lot about who's running by meeting them. That's always handy. Go to something where they're speaking. Call their office if they're currently in office.
And if I may interject, I was having a conversation with my father a few days ago, and we obviously the Tea Party provides ample opportunity to meet these politicians up close and personal. I mean, there's really so many venues, but at least with the tea parties, you actually have an opportunity to shake their hands and have one-on-one conversations for the most part. Not difficult to do.
Well, and if you run a good, you know, if it's a good group, they'll invite everybody, whether they all show up or not,
right,
is a different
right.
matter.
So, you know, my father was asking about certain races and who to vote for and just didn't know what to do. And unfortunately, he does live in Reading, and I had to very gently remind him that his daughter is deeply involved in making all of these opportunities possible. And, you know, he can't really complain if he hasn't taken advantage of any of those opportunities. They
no,
are
not
there.
Like he didn't know when it was happening or
he didn't have a source to find out. So, you know, for all of those that are grumpy and don't want to deal with it, some of us are grumpy and tired of hearing you complain when you don't do anything about it.
Exactly. And, you know, showing up is a great thing. It doesn't ensure perfection. I mean, we're not going to elect Mm-mm. perfect people because Mm-mm. we're still going to be electing people. But
right.
in the meantime, and maybe there are good people in office. I always hate it when I hear, they're an incumbent. Throw them out.
And the thing is,
that's kind of like they have brown hair. Don't elect them. I mean,
is that
stupid.
We're constantly pushing for good people to run for office. And then when they do, we put them on a pedestal and then we knock them over.
Well, or we just say that all people who run for office are bad.
Yeah.
And that's just not even possible.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways.
That's like saying that all people who have children are great parents.
Yeah. Or bad parents.
Yeah, follow that one.
Whatever.
Hey, so Prop 28. Prop 28 in California, and I realize we have people from other states, but you probably get one of these here
talking
pretty
about,
soon.
Talking about term limits in the state legislature.
Uh-huh. It's presented as a term limit, and I didn't get the little book with my with my absentee ballot.
All I got
was my ballot.
Mine's out in my car. I could go get it.
That would be handy. So we can't read you what it says, but basically it's about term limits. The trick is that it's about extending term limits. This is one of those really clever sleight of hand type of propositions.
Because currently between the state assembly and the state senate, any particular candidate or incumbent can serve a total of 14 years.
Yeah, because you can do 3 terms in the assembly
and 2
so,
in the senate.
So that's 6, and mm-hmm. then 6 total,
mm-hmm.
and then in the senate it's 2 4-year terms. So there's another 8 years.
So there's your 14 years.
This actually extends that, and it's interesting. I'm reading a thing from the Flash Report. He calls it a Trojan horse designed to try and appeal to voters who still strongly support term limits, because most people do.
Mm-hmm.
So this pretends to be a term limited thing. Here in his article, he says, despite the claim by proponents that lobbyists are empowered by the status quo, I find that the opposite is actually the case. Proving my point, almost to a person, every lobbyist to whom I've spoken has said that they are hoping, praying, and anxious that Prop 28 passes. That's right. The lobbyists for the special interests want this. Right now, they all complain that before they can get to know, translation on that was influence, a politician, they are gone and replaced with a new one. That's the point. At some point, the politicians go native and start becoming Sacramento's representatives to the people instead of the other way around.
And the thing is that basically what this does is it reduces it to 12 years, but you can spend that entire 12 years in the assembly, or you can spend that entire 12 years in the Senate.
You need to really read the details.
So, which means that potentially, if you ran for the assembly, spent 12 years, then maybe skipped a year, ran for the Senate.
I think it gives you ultimately like 20. Now you're limited at 12 or at 14.
Yeah, so right now it goes from 14, and instead of going down to 12, you're actually bumping it up to 24, if we know the specifics. But
yeah, I don't think it doubles it.
But close. Yeah.
So read the detail. I mean, always read the detail and be discerning. The other thing, these campaigns just get dirty, you know, they really do. And it's a lot of things are factual, but it's, you have to know the whole story, and that takes a lot of time, and people who don't operate in that industry don't always have all the facts. So before you pass on, a smear email that you may get, I got mm-hmm. one the other day.
Yeah, be careful.
About a guy running in another district. And when you looked at the information in the email, it was obviously not factual. It was kind of like, he said this, therefore all this other stuff is true. Well, huge assumptions were made. So before you send that out to all your friends and influence them against somebody who might be a good candidate, you should really call them, call their staff, contact their campaign, ask for yourself. ask for yourself. Mm-hmm. They'll answer you. And if they don't, well, that tells you something right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We included, I'm going to skip to the website. We included a ton of information for you on the website about election things. We'll never be able to get to all of it, but there were some really interesting things. There, when you go to wethepeopleradio.us, it'll come up and it'll say the first part of the hour is election news. And under that are links. You'll see a survey that was taken on Prop 29. It's way too big to totally read to you. It's a giant survey, but it was very, very interesting. Just below that, you'll see a link for the Secretary of State. It says calaccesssos.ca.gov, and SOS is Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. Secretary of State keeps track of all the things like campaign finance for
so
state offices.
If you want to know exactly who's given money to the candidates and how much, there's where you find out. Not hard to figure out.
Well, like the newspaper, the local newspaper here, didn't print. Last week, some of the late campaign donations that have come in because they were unpleasant for some of the candidates.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, they just forgot to put them in. So by going to that, looking up the candidate, you can see who's contributing. You can also see what their expenditures are. So you can see what they're spending their money on. So if you're thinking, gosh, you know, I'd like to contribute to that guy, but he's probably, you know how people do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's probably a shyster. Well, go look.
Yeah.
You can see everybody.
It's all public
information. All the money that goes through these campaigns. And, you know.
Election Track is another one, and that's also on the website. I spent a lot of time on these last night, literally. When you start perusing these websites, it's really hard to tear yourself away. But Election Track is even easier to navigate because basically it's just about the money's coming in and out from the candidates. It's really good.
It's ElectionTracon, election track, TRACK.com. And on there, you can go from Jerry Brown. You can see what his last 25 contributors were. You can see all his full information. You can look at contributors. You can look at expenditures. You can look by candidate. Down at the very bottom of this very long page, there's an independent expenditure report updated hourly. So literally, you could refresh this every hour, and you could see where the money's
mm-hmm,
going.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. You can see that, like, Sam Paredes was on last week?
Week before, 2 weeks ago.
From Gun Owners of California, and he was telling us that large expenditures were going to start coming from the groups that represent dentists and realtors, and they were going to go to candidates that were fairly moderate. If it's a conservative district, they would pick the conservative moderate most likely, and they were looking to get some of the money back that Governor Brown had.
And you have to ask yourself, what do dentists and the real estate industry have to do with the Second Amendment and gun owners and private gun ownership? And that is because they've been promised some things.
Sure. So Gun Owners of California follows a lot of that. Gun Owners of America would be an excellent choice. I mean, they're literally a Second Amendment rights organization. They're not running politicians. They're looking to, you know, mm-hmm. keep the good ones, ditch the bad ones. So there's pretty good info there. Bob's giving me the high sign. Are you giving me the high sign?
No, I cut your headphones off momentarily there.
I was
throwing my hands up in mock horror.
Oh, throwing my hands up in mock horror. Let's write that down. I want to use
terrible.
That
terrible. I never noticed. Sorry, Bob.
Apparently, you've never seen mock horror before. It kind of sounds like a character.
First, it's hard to tell the difference between mock and the actual thing.
Not
if you're good at it.
Such a drama queen, Bob.
If you're good at it.
So, anyway, you can keep an eye on who's getting money from where, and that tells you something. And if you're not contributing to political campaigns, but you're voting, then that's good. You're weighing in. But if you contribute and or walk precincts, that's a biggie. Boots on the ground is a huge, huge thing. We walked precincts yesterday in Red Bluff, actually, for a couple of candidates. And going to people's houses, giving them literature, I know it seems stupid, but it makes a huge, mm-hmm. huge difference. So if you have a candidate that is trying to get into office, especially if it's somebody who's probably struggling, they need you to go out and talk to other people. You have no idea how much you do. Everybody knows how much influence that holds. It's the same with, I went to the new restaurant, and it's terrible. Our food was cold. They were grumpy. 9 times out of 10, you never go to that restaurant. Mm-hmm. You never even find out for yourself.
Right.
So anyway. Hey, people are calling. So we probably better take a break, eh, before we do something else? I love it when I make Bob multitask. Did you like that? That was some more mock horror we were having over here.
Yes. Right. Just as we're going to the break. Would you answer the phone?
Yeah, could you answer the phone, please? We need some coffee, too.
Oh, and we need to go on a break. And is the bathroom free? And
we have a lot of needs. All right, we're going to take a swift break here, and we'll be right back with you. We're talking about election stuff, so if you have questions, you can call us at 530-605.
I think when we come back, we'll talk about Prop 29.
And we'll hit you with Prop 29, too. So you're listening to We the People Radio. .us on the web or KCNR1460.com online, the home of Free Fire Media.
Money for people with minds that hate. All I can tell you is, brother, you have to wait. You know it's gonna be alright.
In this election, we can vote for more jobs, better public safety, and planning the right way. We can do this by voting yes on Measure A. Measure A will allow a new retail center at Knighton Road and I-5 to go forward. This project has been publicly and thoughtfully planned for years and will bring dramatic safety and traffic improvements to the area. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce supports Measure A because the retail business is still strong in Shasta County, and the project will create 1,600 jobs from managerial to entry level. Let's remember, with unemployment still over 14% in Shasta County, there are thousands of local residents who just want to get back to work. Measure A will also generate new revenue for our sheriff's deputies and local schools. Join the Shasta Deputy Sheriff's Association and the Reading Record Searchlight. Vote yes on Measure A. It's about doing things the right way. Paid for by Shasta Citizens for Jobs. Yes on Measure A. Build Knighton Retail Center. Sponsored and major funding by Hawkins Companies.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
We need help in the state of California, and Brian Daly is the one to do it.
I think the debt-free record that Lassen County has is a good representation of what Brian will represent in Sacramento.
He's a guy that you can trust, that's going to get the job done. He's going to work relentlessly hard at everything he does.
What strikes me about Brian is his honesty.
Brian Daly has done a wonderful job in Lassen County. We are debt-free now.
On June 5th, I will vote for Brian Daly.
Vote to send Brian Daly to the California Assembly. Paid for by Daly for Assembly 2012.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
We are amazed but not amused by all the things you say that you do. So much concerned but not involved with decisions that are made by you. But we are sick and tired of hearing the song, telling how you.
Stevie Wonder. Welcome back. We're quickly wrapping up our first hour. Got a caller on the line, but real quickly.
What Bob's
just
laughing.
A little irony there. Stevie Wonder wrote that about Richard Nixon back in the day, but if you listen to the lyrics, at least in that first verse, they could very well apply to our current president, whom Stevie Wonder is, to my knowledge, still a big supporter of. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, shocking.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, just real quick, we want to tell you also to... pay very close attention to the recall election in the state of Wisconsin, which will also happen on Tuesday. That has huge ramifications nationwide.
That's not what the Democrats say, though. They say now that it's insignificant. It was huge when they were winning, and now they're not winning, so it's no big deal.
Yeah.
nothing to see here. Move along.
Some very simple reforms on the part of that state's governor, Scott Walker. I keep thinking of Scott Brown. they have turned that that financial devastation around to the state being in the black again. Nobody's lost a job. No fires being no shots being fired. Definitely pay attention to that one because, and they also say that 50% of union employees have dropped their membership. So they're getting to keep their dues in their own pocket.
Walker had a 7-point lead in the latest poll that I heard yesterday.
Well, yeah. Tea Party Patriots nationwide has been weighing in heavy on that. They had knocked on, this was 2 weeks ago, they had knocked on 2,400 doors, physically transported people to Wisconsin and coordinated with local folks there and gone and walked for Walker. I mean, literally knocked on doors and spoken to people.
Yeah.
So you don't hear that in the news, but just wanted people to know that was actually taking
place. And in a nutshell, they basically just asked for government employees to contribute a tiny percentage to their retirement because they were getting 100% paid. And now property taxes have been lowered.
Mm-hmm. There's an unemployment. There are all sorts of really good statistics.
Unemployment has gone down.
I know.
I mean, it's
just not what's supposed to happen.
You know, some really simple, basic, small reforms have completely turned the fiscal state around.
Lovely. What a great idea.
So anyway, watch that
one
closely.
Being fiscally conservative actually does something. Huh, interesting.
Or just responsible.
Hey, quick note before we bring up Charles here on mailers that you get. Just a little piece of info for you. When you get those mailers, I know a lot of people throw them out because I see them in the post office. They're in the trash already. And I used to do that, too, all the time because I figured, somebody paid for it. It must be trash, you know. But interesting way to fact check on your candidate because those are the things they are most proud of. And if it's a negative mailer, those are the things they're alleging on their opponent. Double check those things. You can obviously find out the truth. So instead of throwing them out, use those as a way to hone your skills on that candidate. Mm-hmm. The other note is the slate mailers that come out, you know, firefighters or police support or, oh my gosh, there's a million of them.
And a slate mailer is basically a mailer that's put out by any group or organization supporting the candidate. That does not mean that the candidate has chosen to have that mailer sent out.
Correct. But some, the candidates pay to be on them. That's a like prop. It's really funny. Prop 28 and 29. Every single slate mailer that came out has yes on those that I saw, and then I started getting a whole bunch that had no. So you're like, what is everybody, schizophrenic? It depends. A lot of that is controlled by the candidate or the group. It's really a messaging piece. It isn't an independent. And you got to look at who sent it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it looks like it's one thing, but it really isn't. Like it'll say it's all firefighters, but it turns out it's not. It's this little group of supporters. So anyway, the coffee's here.
So we should probably bring Charles back in. We've just got a couple of minutes. Sorry, Charles. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah. How did you all enjoy the fact checks that I did about a month ago?
Charles, do you have any idea how many emails we get? You're going to have to be more specific.
Yeah, but about a little over a month ago, I did fact checks on all the on about six of the debates.
Oh, those fact checks. Because, you're like the research guy.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I have a project for you that I won't bore the world with, but I did have something I thought, this is right up Charles' alley. What was the most stunning thing you found?
Well, In one or two of the races, it seemed like there were a bunch of candidates who just did not do their homework.
Like?
Well, I know there was one. There was one in the state Senate, I believe, and the guy was saying that he was going to go all over the state and unite everybody and get everybody to work together in Sacramento, and I was like, well, you're going to do that on your own because you can't take your staff at state expense outside the district, so that's problematic. Besides the fact that once your constituents find out that you're running all over the state instead of doing work for them in their area, especially up here, you know, you've got huge counties and lots of problems, they're gonna roast you.
I'm talking about candidates that confuse AB 109 with the fire tax.
Oh, the AB 109 is the one that says we got to let out all these prisoners, and the fire tax is the $150 rural fire fee.
Right, and I think I don't have the fact checks in front of me, but it's right there in the District 4 fact check.
All right. Hey, Charles, if you send me a link to that, we'll put it on the website and people can read it because your work is great. Shoot it to us. We'll post it.
Thanks, Charles.
We got it to you a month ago.
I know, but can you do it again? I'm sorry. I'm such a mess. Hey, we got to go. The news is going to cut us off. You are listening to KCNR 1460 AM. Thanks, Charles. Dos vidanya.
All right. We'll be back with Joe Franich after the news here at KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. His lawyer says George Zimmerman is back in Sanford, Florida, and will turn himself into jail this afternoon as ordered. Zimmerman, charged with murdering an unarmed teenager while patrolling his neighborhood, claiming self-defense. A judge revoked Zimmerman's bail for not telling the court about all the money he'd raised for his case through the website.
What the judge did, he sent a message that he's going to follow the law and he's not going to allow any shenanigans in his courtroom.
Natalie Jackson represents Trevon Martin's family. He's the kid Zimmerman shot. Mitt Romney's campaign using the latest unemployment numbers against President Obama. Here's Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso.
Friday's jobs report shows the nation's unemployment rate rose to 8.2%.
Nobody is happy with the rate of job creation today.
But President Obama's former advisor, Stephen Ratner, says without the president's policies, the jobs numbers would be worse. While Republicans like Mitt Romney's senior advisor, Ed Gillespie, also tells Fox News Sunday that what's needed in Washington is leadership.
Which is vacant right now, which is absent, and that is what's contributing to our stagnant economy.
Wall Street also reacting to the jobs report plunging 275 points on Friday, Chris.
Jeff, Queen Elizabeth II is on the Thames River in London watching 1,000 boats go by in a flotilla celebrating her reign.
People are taking the moment to note this historic event and bringing out their children so that they can remember Queen Elizabeth II. Anybody who was born after 1952 has had one monarch their entire lifetime. And that means that for them, Elizabeth is the monarchy, and today they're making their appreciation for this long-standing institution well-known.
Fox's Phil Itner in London. A passenger plane has crashed into a two-story building in Lagos, Nigeria. That's the capital, with 153 people on board. We do not have any word yet on survivors. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
There's more to Fox News Radio than meets the ear. Go behind the headlines and join the conversation on the hottest stories of the day on the Fox News Radio Facebook page. Be a part of the Fox News Radio Facebook fan community. Post comments and tell us your opinion. See behind-the-scenes photos and videos and post your reactions to the stories that matter to you. Click the like button on Facebook and connect with breaking news and features like Fox in the Fast Lane, House Call for Help, and more. Go to Facebook.com/Fox News Radio.
Weeknights, we are busting out a brand new lineup. First, market fraud, government abuse, corruption. At 5, nothing's off limits on Money with Melissa Francis. Then, from bloated bank fees to consumer scams. At 6, Jerry's exposing the issues impacting your wallet. Plus, get smart market insight and trusted analysis you won't find anywhere else. At 7, Lou Dobbs is all business. And the first and last name in business, Kabuto. Shedding light on the biggest stories making headlines at 8. Only on the Fox Business Network, giving you the power to prosper.
A man blew himself up with a hand grenade at the entrance of a nightclub in Idvor, Serbia, killing himself, a friend, and one other person. At least 8 other people are hurt. Police say that nightclub was open illegally. China, among the nations opposing Western intervention in Syria. Syrian President Bashar Assad denies his government's role, meantime, in massacring more than 100 civilians in the city of Hula last week, blaming outsiders.
China's opposition to Syrian intervention is historical. Since the 19th century, China's been a recipient of international interference. They also don't want other countries messing around in Taiwan, Tibet, and Xinjiang. But global risk analyst Dane Chamorro says another reason is oil.
Syria is aligned with Iran. Iran and China are fairly close friends. China has big economic interests in Iran. They're a major purchaser of Iranian oil.
Chamorro says if Sudan is an example, China may wait till the last minute when an intervention is unavoidable and then jump on the global bandwagon.
Fox's Bill Marcus in Shanghai, China. Pakistani intelligence officials say an American drone strike has killed 10 more suspected militants since the 6th strike in 2 weeks. A wildfire in New Mexico is getting bigger.
The fire in the Gila National Forest spreading to more than 350 square miles Saturday.
Fire has been burning very actively due to the extremely high temperatures and low humidities, plus the winds that we've had on a fairly regular basis.
Dave Killebrew with the Southwest Coordination Center in Albuquerque warns the battle is far from over.
There are very few opportunities for creating good, defensible fire lines.
Roughly 1,200 firefighters working to stop the massive blaze, which began when a pair of fires sparked by lightning merged. Steve Rappaport, Fox News Radio.
100 people surveyed, top five answers on the board.
Richard Dawson has died at 79. He had esophageal cancer. Hosted the Family Feud game show from 1976 to 85. Played one of the POWs on the TV show Hogan's Heroes. Chris Foster, Fox News Radio.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hope you got a cup of coffee. You are listening to We the People Radio with Elizabeth Woodward, Aaron Ryan, and Bob Martin. He is
Hello. So
a part of the team. Hello. And we're talking
Bob,
elections.
Say hello.
Hello.
So people know we're not making you up. Yeah, they think Elizabeth and I are running all the equipment.
Yeah, mostly we're screwing it up.
We stay on the side of the desk. We stay on the other side.
So we've been talking elections and propositions and candidates and where you can get information and how to educate yourself and why you need to and why you can't complain if you don't vote.
Fact-checking.
Did I cover everything?
Pretty much. Go to wethepeopleradio.us. We've given you some links there. If you live out of the state of California, go to your Secretary of State website. That is
and follow the,
big,
the money.
That is the big deal. Check out the money. That's you know, a lot of times when people get donations, getting donations isn't a bad thing. We have a candidate locally that talks all about how I don't take donations, so I can't be bought.
And then we have another one who says I'm getting all the money I can and proud of it.
Yeah, obviously different philosophies. But at the end of the day, if you want to reach, we have a depending on the race that you're running. I mean, you could be anywhere from. Well, the current Senate district, state Senate district that is represented here, the 4th Senate district, 12 counties. And the Senate districts are all 930,000 people, plus or minus.
Well, yeah, you got to look at the geography on
the West
Coast.
How are you going to do that with no money? Yeah. I mean, you have to do mailers, you have to do radio, you have to do TV. I don't care who you are, you can't meet that many people. So just we'll throw in on Prop 29. Prop 29 is a tax.
A dollar cigarette tax on cigarettes, but also any tobacco-related products.
Yeah, and so at the end of the day, people will go, "Oh, good, people shouldn't smoke anyway."
But you know, it's like I was talking to my mother, and she said, "Well, I think that we should add $5 onto every pack, and then maybe people will quit smoking." She's a former smoker, so they're always the first ones on the bandwagon. But anyway,
good Lord,
cracks me up. And I said, "Well, that's all fine and good, but do you realize that the sales tax revenue generated from tobacco products is what funds the children's health programs. So if you eliminate cigarette smoking altogether, you eliminate the funding for children's health programs."
Well, besides the fact that there are, you know, a lot of facts to say that money's not going to stay in the state.
Of course not.
And other good stuff.
And, you know, if somebody wants to smoke, it's none of your business.
Exactly.
There you have it.
Well, one of those sites that you sent me in the email said when Prop 29 was actually explained to people that a lot more people got opposed to it.
It's still pretty close, though, based on the polls that I saw yesterday.
People like sin taxes sometimes. You know, they like to punish somebody else, because especially if you're a non-smoker. Yeah, let's get them. I know somebody who died of cancer. It's going to fix all that. Really?
Yeah, right. And, you know, we've had this conversation before. They're really never probably going to cure cancer, because think of all the money that would not be made and all the people out of jobs.
Oh, my gosh. You've gone somewhere bad.
I know. Sorry.
You have.
Hey, we're going to be talking.
The curtain back.
We are going to be talking to Joe Vranich, and
if
you've ever thought about fleeing the state of California, he's your guy.
And he's not a moving man. No. Joe, you got to hand it to Joe. I mean, I email a lot of people about the show.
So do I, and some
and
never get back to you.
Yeah, it takes forever to hear from people. I mean, email right back, which was awesome. And then I started reading his bio. I just read an article, and I thought it was really interesting, thought people would like to hear more. And then I find out, holy cow, Joe, I'll read right out of his bio. He's an executive coach consultant with clients located throughout the United States.
been a guest many times on ABC, BBC, C-SPAN, CBS, keep going, Fox News. I just saw a video that we'll post for everybody on Varney and Company. He was on there talking about what's going on in the state of affairs, especially in California, for business. Done a lot of testifying in Congress and all sorts of neat stuff. So apparently we've made the connection, and Joe's on the line.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great.
Wow, we checked out your website after there. Isn't it funny how you hear from somebody and you go, hey, this is going to be a neat guy, and then I look at all the stuff, I'm like,
oh, my God.
Man, we only have him on for a little while.
And we're excited that we can now add ourselves to your list.
Yeah.
Wow. We've made the big time.
Right up there with Stuart Varney.
I don't think so.
Spectrum Location Solutions. That's the name of your company. And I read, actually, and listed in the links on our website, is your blog. That's where I read the article. I thought it was awesome. So what do people need to know about what's going on in California?
Yeah, which apparently I am the only person in California. What's our population? Something like 38 million people.
Yeah.
Apparently I am the only one who has made an effort to track the number of companies leaving the state. And the reason I did that is I work in the relocation business. I have companies calling me to say, we need your help in site selection and finding a less expensive, friendlier place to be. And I know I get those calls, but some would say, well, Joe, your experience is anecdotal. Well, I can also say that nobody calls me to move into the state. Only
that was my next question.
Yeah. So I got tired of seeing politicians in Sacramento, especially the big spenders, say, hey, you know, this is all an exaggeration. We really aren't losing much at all. So I started doing a tracking system, and last year 254 companies left the state, which is higher than the year before, which is a lot higher than the year before that. And every sign is that as Sacramento remains hostile to commercial enterprises of all types, that the moving vans continue to carry people and machinery and desks and so forth out of California to a whole bunch of different other states.
Hey, now, Joe, when you do your studies and your statistics, do you, in addition to determining the number of jobs lost when companies leave the state of California, do you look at the ancillary jobs as well?
No, and as a matter of fact, I'm not even in a position to calculate the number of jobs lost,
okay,
nor can I calculate the negative economic impact, because my way of doing this is to look at only public domain information. So something has to be in a newspaper, on some radio program, blog somewhere, in a press release. And I do that on purpose because it's impossible for politicians to deny the accuracy of my report when it's printed right there.
That's, you know, a good
in
idea.
A newspaper or on the internet. And those reports don't contain the kind of real detail that you would get if somebody were to go out and do a serious economic study of what our losses in California really are.
Well, the thing that kind of blew my mind, I was looking on your website, and it was the client list. I mean, I was kind of looking, I'm like, oh, what does this guy do anyway? So I clicked on here, and here's this, I don't know how many are on this page, but it says the following representative sample excludes clients desiring confidentiality. So that means there's more of them. I'm looking at aerospace, big guys like Lockheed, computers, big guys like AT&T, IBM, consumer products, Colgate, Johnson.
Oh, look at all the manufacturers.
Tons of manufacturers. You've got, Chrysler Financial, Capital One, Advanta, Wachovia, and then I like food and beverage. I was like, I forgot about those guys. Bacardi, General Mills, Guinness, one of my favorites. Transportation, all sorts of people. You've worked with a ton of different types of companies.
Yes, I have, and you pointed out the ones that are covered by non-disclosure agreements are not mentioned at all. I do want to issue a caveat here. Not all of them have anything to do with California. For example, I'm helping a company move from Illinois to Tennessee. So, you know, if the company gives me permission at some point to add their name to the list, they would be on that list, even though they have nothing to do with California. The surprising thing is most of the companies not listed happen to be California companies, if for no other reason than my business has migrated to such an extent that that is where the emphasis happens to be these days.
Yeah, and my point in bringing that up is that at the end of the day, you're not a guy, you know, working out of a spare bedroom in your house in your slippers who deals with, you know, small contractors in a local area. I mean, you deal with big companies. You've testified before Congress and a bunch of committees. So you get around.
Actually, I do help the small outfits. I've helped companies with as few as 10 employees. Because for one thing, being in business for myself for 24 years now, I really associate with the pain that a small business owner has, and I look for a way to do the job, you know, faster for them, which is easier to do because they're not a big corporation. So the price tag for advice and services and so forth comes in lower than for the big companies, as it should be anyway for a small outfit. The interesting thing is there was an outfit that moved the other day. It was not a client of mine. I saw this in the newspaper. They moved from Palmdale to a place up near Carson City, Nevada, so they crossed into a income tax-free state. They had only 10 employees. I'm sorry, they had only 9 employees, and 8 of them made the move.
Oh,
so
wow.
That shows you can get a high percentage of people who want to leave. As a matter of fact, let me share with you a new phenomena. That is, there are now some cases where employees get wind that the company might move, in one case to Texas. The one by one, employees came in to see the boss, closed the door, and asked that the company move to Texas.
Wow.
And the reason why, it's like, well, I want to get my kids out of the Los Angeles school system, or you know, my husband and I live in an apartment here, and for what we pay here, we can afford to buy a nice house in Texas. Or, you know, the company is growing, but I know you're not going to grow here. I love this company. I want to stay with it. I'll move no matter where you go. And if you move to some place that's cold and icy, I'll get used to it.
Wow, that's crazy.
So I was going to ask you, and that's kind of a nice caveat into, you know, you've been doing this for, you know, 20 plus years, so you've seen economic cycles and you've worked with, I mean, underneath different administrations, as we've all lived under different administrations. And if you were to forecast, let's just say, the next 5 years for the state of California, what would you venture a guess to be?
I can see it getting only worse, unfortunately. And before I do that, let me just say there, I think I should point out the reasons companies leave and then build on that to just answer your question briefly. The top three reasons companies leave are taxes are high, regulations are awful, and there's this excessively adversarial attitude in government agencies in California. Well, if you're a profitable company, the taxes are your number one factor. But if, let's say, you're in a money-losing situation, the cost of compliance with regulations are so high that regulations are your number one factor. So it varies depending on what condition your company is in. The third reason always is I can't stand discussing our issues with a government agency in California because we pay our taxes, we do our best to follow the rules, we pick up the phone, we call them, and California treats every conversation with us as adversarial. Having said all that, I see no signs that any of that is improving. As a matter of fact, we have cap and trade coming in, which means the state of California has managed to figure out how to tax thin air.
Yeah, nothing.
Even the Roman Empire didn't know how to do that, and they taxed everything. So with new regulations coming on, new fines, new fees, the potential for higher taxes, as you know, what's going to be on the ballot later this year, here's what I'm now saying. I think the exodus will increase. Basic reason. Right now, if you run a business in California and we help you move to another state, you can save at least 20% of your costs by moving. If you move to a small area in a tax-free state like Texas or something, we could save you about 40%, sometimes 45%. Within a year or two, that 20% savings could go up to 25, and that, let's say that 45% savings could actually go up to 50. And I know a guy who moved his company from California to Colorado, his facilities cost alone dropped by 50%. So with all of these factors in play, and with the statistics looking the way they are, and with the attitudes in Sacramento being what they are, I regret to say I'm pessimistic about what I now call the formerly golden state.
Yeah, it's looking kind of like the cheesy gold that's over silver. It rubs off.
Right,
or it comes
right
out of
moment.
Or it comes out of a squirt can. So many bad things. We need to take a swift break here and thank our advertisers. We will be right back with Joe Vranich. This is going to be a great hour. I hope you call a friend and tell them to tune in. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
I guess happiness was love of Texas and the rearview mirror. But now happiness is love of Texas growing nearer and dearer. And the vision is getting clearer in my dreams. And I think I finally know just what it means.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Clifford, running for Shasta County Supervisor, District 4. Because the only way to guarantee things are done right is to do it yourself. I've worked 52 years to get other conservatives elected, only to watch them metamorph into liberals. I have the courage in my conservative convictions. I'll put water rights, property rights, and businesses before job-killing environmental activism. I'll fight to protect local sovereignty against state and federal mandates. Vote Clifford for Supervisor, District 4, on June 5th.
Paid for by Clifford for Supervisor, District 4.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Time to clean your home or office carpets? Looking for a company you can trust? Hex Carpet Care has the best in carpet care technology, but with old-fashioned customer service. They pride themselves with no broken promises. They do what they say. They are built off of referrals. They're the company you feel good about referring. Hex Carpet Care is locally owned and operated, offering same and next day appointments. No job is too big or too small. Give us a call, 710-6267. That's 710-6267. Hex Carpet Care. Simply the best.
We need help in the state of California, and Brian Daly is the one to do it.
I think the debt-free record that Lassen County has is a good representation of what Brian will represent in Sacramento.
He's a guy that you can trust, that's going to get the job done. He's going to work relentlessly hard at everything he does.
What strikes me about Brian is his honesty.
Brian Daly has done a wonderful job in Lassen County. We are debt-free now.
On June 5th, I will vote for Brian Daly.
Vote to send Brian Daly to the California Assembly.
Paid for by Daly for Assembly 2012.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. What else?
Need I say it again? The music has everything to do with this show.
Well, not everything.
Pretty darn
everything,
close.
Bob. Everything.
The guests help.
You're all that in a sack of chips, Bob. Just say thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Jump on the chat room, wethepeopleradio.us, or give us a call, 530-605-4567, but definitely check out the webpage. Everything about today's guests you will find there, and feel free to send it out to everyone you know.
Super interesting. We're speaking with Joe Vranich. All right, Joe, talk to the folks. What do they need to know? Because, you know, I can hear somebody out there going, well, he's just talking about people moving out of California so he can't have work. You would let people move into California and help them do that if they wanted to, wouldn't you?
And do you see trends?
Well, hey, wait a minute. What about my question?
Okay.
Elizabeth just blew me off.
I'm sorry.
Well, to take the first question.
We need you for more than an hour, Joe.
We're having a press conference.
Do I see people moving in? Let me tell you, I do. I'm more than happy to help somebody move into the state. And let me tell you a quick story about what I call the U-turn effect. A company located in another state wanted to move here, lock, stock, and barrel, 300 people. And the reason why is the top executives can afford the California lifestyle. They wanted to buy these very expensive homes along the beach and blah, blah, blah. So they came to me and they had me do this little study of comparing California costs to where they are now. And it's everything from taxes, the unemployment compensation rate, all of these different things. So I sent them the first report, and they were kind of shocked. Well, they weren't kind of. They were very shocked at how much more expensive it would be. So they made the decision, okay, we're not moving 300 people. We're going to move 70 and leave a big back office in the other state. So now my study goes into deeper questions like, you know, okay, how much might rent be for a facility at this large and blah, blah, blah. They looked at those comparative figures. And we're stunned again, and they said, okay, we're only going to move the top executives and their support staff here, about 30 people. So the next study came in, and guess what? They made the decision, nobody's coming to California. They're staying where they are. So this is something that can't even be calculated. Business people know this is what's called an opportunity cost. There's no politician, no state agency, nobody who could put a value on the number of companies that did not come here, because in most cases, nobody knows about it.
That's totally true. And that's, you know, that's what you hear all the time. And I don't know about you in the southern part of the state, but up here, we hear all the time. People say, I would move if I could, you know, but I'm living on, you know, my family, a lot of people living on my family's ranch. I'm fifth generation, this and that. And people want to hold on to their heritage, really. I mean, they can't move their land.
Well, people are leaving from all parts of the state. There's something called net domestic migration, and in that category, California is actually losing population. Now, just so I don't confuse anybody, California is gaining in population when you consider that births outnumber deaths, and when you consider people that move here from international locations. But if you look at just
Native
Americans...
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, but if you look at just Native Americans, people like me, I was born here. This is my native country. I have no other place to go to. Within the last 10 years, we've lost more than 1 million people. We've lost more than the population of some of our cities. And the number one place that these people are going to are Texas, Arizona, Nevada. The exodus to Oregon has dropped off because they've now instituted some California-style taxes, and bang, they fell off the moving screen pretty fast. So we are losing people.
Joe, how many are moving to, for instance, Utah, Colorado, Idaho?
How about North Dakota for jobs?
How far are they moving?
Oh, they're literally... There are moves to every state. And the IRS has real data. These are not estimates, but they publish real data showing how when people change their addresses, where they go to, and it's county by county. There's even an interactive map on the internet. You could click, let's say, San Francisco, which is a county. Click on it, and it'll show you every county in the country that 10 or more people move to. It's really a phenomenal thing. The question is, how many of those are because of job moves, and that we don't know. But I do know for sure that people have moved to every state in significant numbers.
And if you think about the increase in population, for instance, based on births, like you mentioned, you know, those are not tax-paying citizens. So,
that's correct.
I think our tax base is moving. I mean, the people that possibly have the ability to help fund the state government.
That's right. There's a reporter in Texas who was driving on the interstate, and he was behind a trailer truck or flatbed truck that had two Lamborghinis on it with California license plates. And then, you know, it was kind of clear they were moving, if not to Texas, they were moving someplace east of Texas, and they left California. And then there was people following that also with California plates and a BMW or something like that. Mm-hmm. So he actually did a story about how the people who are fleeing California seem to be the wealthiest people. And that's just a common sense conclusion to reach. because we do have our tax. We're known as the worst tax state in the country when you count all of it together,
right.
Income taxes, property taxes, sales taxes, even though our property taxes.
Yeah, and which
are
is why we're paying $1 more a gallon for gas here than all the other states.
The good part is, though, you can still drink a 32-ounce soda if you want to, because Mayor Bloomberg hasn't gotten Jerry Brown to sign on to that one.
Yeah,
because it won't be a citywide thing. It'll be a statewide thing here.
It's true that we have the highest gas taxes in the country, and you would think that somebody would look at that and say, hey, this also hurts our businesses. But apparently, I don't know, I'm probably speaking in an echo chamber, but it seems like Sacramento just doesn't care.
Care. That was the echo chamber.
Yeah,
there is an element of that. Like, Mary, I don't know if you, well, I bet you did. I bet you saw it. Mary Nichols, insert your own phraseology there. The Gallup, the California Air Resources Board, cut off the quote-unquote public meeting the other night because people were just too negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were just too negative. So, you know, we're just going to be done here. We just can't take all the negativity.
Oh, and, of course, those public meetings all have armed guards.
Yeah, I love the armed guards. That's my favorite part. And, you know, that, how about this, Bob? Should we take a swift break so that we're actually back on track? Because when we come back, interestingly enough, hour one and hour two today sort of dovetail. We had Senator Doug LaMalfa on in the first hour, and he was talking about high-speed rail, the debacle of the century. Interestingly enough, our guest Joe Vranich is connected to that as well, but we'll tell you about that when we come right back. See you in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, I'm Bob Moore from Moore's Flour Mill, and I'd like to clear up some confusion. Measure B has nothing to do with the proposed shopping mall on Knighton Road. Measure B is an extreme measure that would dictate what hundreds of private property owners can or cannot do with their land. Measure B is supposed to protect farming, but if it passes, I won't be able to expand my organic farm in Cherry Creek Bottom or allow the public to buy fresh milled grain products at the farm. So please, vote no on Measure B. It's got absolutely nothing to do with the shopping mall.
Paid for by Moore's Flour Mill.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Ask yourself these 2 questions. How many vacant buildings do we have now? Do we really need more retail stores in this area? We have only 1 opportunity to grow. Let's grow wisely. Churn Creek Bottom is fighting a big war on Measure A and Measure B. They need your help. It's no way on Measure A, and it's clear to see it's yes siree on Measure B. The homeowners of Churn Creek Bottom don't have a lot of money to fight this battle, but what they do have is the truth. They're not a big out-of-state company. They're local homeowners fighting to protect and preserve prime farmland in Shasta County. Paid for by the Churn Creek Bottom homeowners and friends.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't
That's the employer talking to the state in this case.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, let's clarify that. It's not the job we don't like. It's the
I'm not about to walk out of the studio for good.
Yeah, all of a sudden you hear
that. Another great choice, Bob. So we're talking to Joe Vranich.
Yeah.
And he helps businesses relocate. Right now, it's all the trend to relocate out of California, which I'm sure is coming to as a tremendous surprise to most of our listeners.
And just know that a lot of these neighboring states, if you do pack your car and drive in, make sure that you take your license plate off immediately, the one that says California.
Yeah.
That's what I've been told. Yeah. They don't want to hear about
it. It's like, hey, you guys are jamming us up. You messed up your state. Don't come here and mess up ours.
That's right.
So, Joe, talk to us about your connection to high-speed rail. You shot me an email about that, and I thought that was fascinating.
Sure, I'd be happy to. When I found out that Senator LaMalfa was going to be on your show, I thought, oh, my gosh, I better volunteer to them the fact that I have another distinction, I guess is the word, and that is I'm the former president of the International High-Speed Rail Association, the author of the book Super Trains, which had a foreword by Tom Clancy and was praised by President Clinton. It's a pro-train book, and it actually argued in favor of high-speed rail in California. After looking at the plans issued by the California High-Speed Rail Authority, I've done a 180-degree turn. I now have publicly labeled this the worst planned high-speed rail system that I've seen anywhere in the world, and I've ridden on virtually every high-speed rail line in the world except the new and newest ones in China.
Really?
I've interviewed presidents of high-speed rail companies or state entities overseas, and I've never seen anything as poor as the California plan. It has no credibility whatsoever, and California voters were duped in 2008 into voting for Proposition 1A to pass $9 billion in bonds, because the program we have now does not represent what the voters were led to believe. It's downright shocking what has happened with this program.
So what do you think the chances are of shutting it down?
Well, there's been some thought that it would be shut down because it would be violating the California Environmental Policy Act, but now Governor Brown apparently wants to try to exempt the project from at least some or many of the environmental laws. And I want to say to Governor Brown, who do you think you are? These laws, whether for good or for bad, have come about after extensive debate over many years. These laws have held up highway projects. They've held up expansions of factories that would create jobs. They've even held up where you can put a restaurant in certain cases. So now you're going to come in and say this huge infrastructure project, which is not needed, that's going to go from San Francisco all the way to L.A., you're going to exempt them from what they do to neighborhoods? You're going to exempt them from what they're going to do to prime farmland? You're going to exempt them from the noise pollution they will create going through the middle of Burbank at like 180 miles an hour? By the way, trains running that fast make a lot of noise. A lot of people don't realize that. It's not necessarily from the rails. It's from the wind resistance. So Governor Brown is leading us into a very slippery slope here in trying to do anything to exempt these people from laws.
Now, Joe, Senator LaMalfa was talking about, I think that the figure he gave was $300 million that's already been invested.
$600 million
that's been invested in this project, and yet no ground has been broken. Do you have any kind of an idea of exactly how deep the bureaucracy is that has been developed around this project so far and how many jobs that means?
Well, the bureaucracy itself is at the High-Speed Rail Authority actually is pretty small. For a while they had only 10 employees. I think they're up to about 25 now. But what they do is they manage engineering firms who do all kind of work on a project management basis. I have no idea how many hundreds of people are at work for these engineering firms, and if they're going up and down the state, they're meeting with people, they're doing this, they're doing that. But I think Senator LaMalfa's figure of $600 million is correct.
I'd like to just know what happened to $600 million.
well. I believe there are investigations that are warranted into these engineering firms. Some of the firms, and I don't want to be using names here, but some of the firms that have contracts with the authority are the same firms that worked on other projects in the United States where there were huge cost overruns, like the highway project in Boston known as the Big Dig, the BART extension to San Francisco Airport. These are the same companies responsible for those incredibly cost overrun projects, and these are the same people working on California high-speed rail.
Hey, well, we mentioned it in the first hour, but we might as well tie it to your segment. Parsons Brinckerhoff currently holds a nearly $200 million contract with the authority and prepared the most recent rail business plan, which outlines a system that's smaller, slower, and twice the price of the high-speed rail project promised to the voters in 2008. And interestingly enough, that the guy that is the executive from this contractor, fascinating. He's just been hired on the rail authority.
That's the new boss.
Yeah, the new
CEO. He's the new CEO.
Yeah.
If this isn't a shocking revolving door story, I don't know what is. By the way, Parsons Brinckerhoff is owned by a company in England. So when Governor Brown talks about creating jobs in California with this program, keep in mind some jobs might be here, but the profits are going to England.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, and the high-speed rail authorities talked about, well, we might have an arrangement with China. Well, they'll loan us the money, and we'll buy their trains. Oh, great. So we will be Chinese employees will be working in China on trains that are headed for California. And because of environmental laws, we've had to close down cement plants in California. And guess where more of our cement comes now than ever before in our history? From China. So excuse me, Governor Brown, you'll be creating jobs all over the world.
Except here.
Not just in California.
It's just such an incredible scam. And that's when I read your note that you were, I mean, you didn't tell me half of this, and that it, obviously it was an email, so. Who wants to type that much info, but, you know, that you were an advocate for high-speed rail and then took a look at this plan and said, wait a minute, not this plan. I think that is stunning. I didn't know you'd ridden on all of them, too.
Well, most of them. Thank goodness for the Reason Foundation, which is headquartered down in Los Angeles, because they engaged me and another fellow named Wendell Cox, and we put together in 2008 a report called the Due Diligence Report on California High-Speed Rail, because basically no due diligence has been done on this so-called business plan the way it would be in the private sector. And what we found out was their predictions on ridership were so high that this would be the most popular high-speed rail line in the world, if you believe their figures. Their operating speeds for the trains were so high that this would be the fastest high-speed train in the world, if you can believe them. And it went on and on, and they claimed, oh, this system will not need subsidies, which is what voters were told in 2008. And our study predicted that they'll need anywhere between $3 and $4 billion a year to subsidize these trains once they're operating. This is one of the biggest frauds to come down in railroad history since the robber baron days.
Good Lord. Well, it's hard to know if we should call it high-speed rail brought to you by Marvel Comics. You know, it's it's faster, brighter, shinier, cheaper, or if we should, you know, call it the Cheerio line, since it's all going to go to Britain.
Who does he think he is, John Galt?
I guess we could use some kind of Chinese metaphor, but we could call it the Chopstick Express, I guess. That's another good option. Maybe we should have a contest.
Your reference to John Galt is excellent. For those listeners who aren't familiar, that's the prime character in Atlas Shrugged, and how the railroads were operated in such a perverse manner by the government back then. That's what we have here in California.
Yep.
Ayn Rand, the author of Atlas Shrugged, must be rolling in her grave seeing what's happening with California high-speed rail.
It is exactly like that. And actually, on the chat room, we were bantering back and forth about maybe since you relocate businesses, if you actually have found Galt's Gulch, and for those of you who haven't read Atlas Shrugged, shame on you for one, and get with it on another. It's 1,300 pages, and before the second part of the movie comes out in October, you better read the book. But, you know, honestly, if there is a Gulch anywhere, I mean, we're going. We want to go. We're ready to go.
Yeah.
We just can't find it. So we're counting on you. We actually have had Don Shulman held hostage on the phone.
He is no longer on the line.
Oh, we blew Don Shulman off. He was on his way into the studio, so he'll stick his head in the door and ask his question. But we're right in the middle of high-speed rail. We couldn't stop.
Well, I'm not sure where he is en route to the studio, but after we take a break here, if he wants to call back, he's welcome to.
Yeah, but he'll be here. He's got his people for the next show are already here. Where is he anyway? Better tell him to hurry up and drive fast. Maybe he can get a ticket like I did a couple weeks ago. I'm still bitter about that, by the way. Have to pay $225 to the state that includes a court fee, and then I have to pay an extra $70 court fee if I want to go to traffic school. Like, what the heck? I think the only thing that's going to work out is that I have lifetime membership in whatever it is, online traffic school 24/7 or whatever. That was my only good investment there. All right. How about this? Let's take a really swift break. We're going to come back with Joe, and he's going to give us whatever he wants to tell us about. We've hit all the things we wanted to talk about. Joe, the next 15 minutes is yours when we come back. How's that?
Okay, sounds good.
We'll be back with Joe Branich here on We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, running for Supervisor, District 3. One of my opponents, while she was serving on the State Board of Forestry and Fire Protection, approved an illegal and unconstitutional fire tax. We've already paid for fire protection. I will not support any new taxes of this type. It's time for proven leadership in Shasta County. And as always, I will support a two-term limit and will refuse all retirement and health care benefits. Vote Patrick Henry Jones, District 3 Supervisor. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Henry Jones, 2012.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialist in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
On Sunday, every Sunday, tune in to Don Shulman and Judy Maxwell. We have fun. We talk about timely things, more informational. Let the others do all that political stuff. Let's just have a good time, talk about things we need to know. Every Sunday on KCNR, Don Shulman, Judy Maxwell. Listen in, call in. We'd love to have you listen to us.
Catch Don and Judy Sundays 10 to noon on AM 1460, KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
We need help in the state of California, and Brian Daly is the one to do it.
I think the debt-free record that Lassen County has is a good representation of what Brian will represent in Sacramento.
He's a guy that you can trust, that's going to get the job done. He's going to work relentlessly hard at everything he does.
What strikes me about Brian is his honesty.
Brian Daly has done a wonderful job in Lassen County. We are debt-free now.
On June 5th, I will vote for Brian Daly.
Vote to send Brian Daly to the California Assembly. Paid for by Daly for Assembly 2012.
Tough times don't have to mean bad times for those who choose to meet the challenges of today's business climate. Every Friday morning on KCNR 1460, we salute the spirit of innovation, discuss new ways of thinking, and celebrate success on Shasta Startup. Join us from 9 to 10 a.m. this Friday to hear how local established businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders are stepping up to get the job done. Brought to you by S.J. Denham Motors Chrysler Jeep. Shasta Startup, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Them politicians treat me like a mushroom, 'cause they feed me bull and keep me in the blind. Now won't you tell me if you can, 'cause life's so hard to understand. Why the rich man
welcome back.
Here at We the People, we often blow off the callers. But then if they come into the studio, they get to ask their questions.
And
so
they
it's good to show up.
And they get to put headphones on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can look like Mickey Mouse.
There you go.
Like it.
I find your guest extremely interesting and very timely.
Yeah, an
very
hour
timely.
Is not enough.
I have a couple comments I'd like to make. I'm finding most people who move out of California want to come back. They miss it. Even with all the negatives, it's either the weather or our culture. It's like Shasta County. There's a lot here. We're like we're just like a composite of everything in the state.
Except the bad stuff. We have mostly good stuff.
The other thing I wanted to say was that...
When they look at their balance sheet, do they still miss it?
Yeah, they do, because they don't have it anyway. But the thing that's very interesting is that these politicians begin to think they're omnipotent. They're making decisions for us. They think that what they say is right, whether we vote for it or not. It reminds me of Plato's Republic. If you've read that, where the state makes all the decisions and this whole thing. And I want to thank your guests for stirring up the old mental juices for me.
Thanks. So Don will be back with the Don Shulman Show at 10 o'clock, where he talks about really fun stuff.
You do.
Yeah, I don't get to talk much about politics, so that's
I know,
why I had to throw Plato and everything in there.
We're going to infiltrate
we'll cover
the show,
that
though.
For you.
Oh, good.
Thanks, Don.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
Glad we could stir your mental juices.
There you go. That's kind of a bad visual, but
so Joe, if you were a citizen in the state of California or
well,
a business, I know. I'm speaking hypothetically to everyone out there.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So what would you say to them? Hang in there. It's going to get better, or run while you can.
It all depends on your personal situation. There are people, for example, he was right, there are some people who leave the state and come back, but that's driven more by the fact that they have family here. Somebody who's an older fellow, for example, who moved from L.A. to Northern Virginia when Northrop Grumman moved their headquarters there a year and a half ago, his children and his grandchildren are here, so he's going to come back. So that does happen. However, what also happens is I've had clients tell me things like, one guy who moved to Colorado grew up in Huntington Beach. He's a surfer dude kind of guy. He's actually quite a lot of fun. And I called him after his move, and I said, hey, how are things going? And he said, Joe, we love it here. Our kids are in schools. Their teachers email us almost every day. We love the Four Seasons. And I said, well, what about Huntington Beach? You grew up there. Don't you miss it? And he said, you know what? I'll never go back. Astounded me. I met a married couple who left also, just by complete quirk, Huntington Beach and moved to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was talking with them, and with no inducement from me whatsoever, they said, oh, we'll never go back. We love it here. And I said, but what about the snow? And so, oh, we don't care. We've met great people, blah, blah, blah. And she was all enthusiastic. So it all depends on your personal situation and your outlook on life.
Isn't that always about the way of it? But
it's
true. A lot of us have older parents here.
Like we do.
My mom, you know, they're in their 70s and they live in the Bay Area and they don't get any information about any of this. They live in the absolute media bubble of the universe, I think. And so they think everything's fine.
You know? By the way, I have to... I have to compliment you on your choice of music.
I know, isn't Bob awesome?
The working man song that you just had on is the perfect segue into how what I want to say next. I want to get back to California high-speed rail. There's a new poll out that's out just yesterday by the Los Angeles Times, and it shows that California voters have buyer's remorse. And they've turned against the project. This is now the second or third survey to show this, but this is by far the biggest one. 55% of California voters want the bond issue back on the ballot, and 59% say they would vote against it. But here's the really extra fascinating thing in this story is organized labor has been among the biggest supporters of the project. But 56% of union households would now reject the state funding plan.
Oh, no kidding.
So why has this project, which did win a vote in 2008, why is it now, in the voters' view, something to be, disdained? I think there are several things that happened. First of all, I'd like to think that the report that I joined in on that was issued in 2008 by the Reason Foundation, the due diligence report, that turned out to be so credible that it stood the test of time very well. When we said, when we came out with our ridership projections, people said, oh, no, you're wrong. When we came out with our cost projections, the state officials at the authority said, oh, no, you're incorrect, you're too pessimistic. Well, as time has gone on, all of our so-called dire predictions were actually conservative. The situation today is even worse than what we predicted in 2008, and a lot of people have taken notice of that. Moreover, there have been studies like by UC Berkeley that pointed out, hey, this train is not going to have the environmental benefits that they claim it will. The GHG reductions, you know, greenhouse gas reductions, they're going to be nowhere near what the train proponents claim they're going to be. Then the authority says, oh, our trains are going to operate without a subsidy. And yet the Federal Railroad Administration in Washington, D.C. has a study which basically says, oh, yes, it is going to require a subsidy because look at all the trains like this around the world that receive subsidies. So now the drumbeat has begun. People like Senator LaMalfa, God bless him, with his proposal to put a new bond issue on the ballot. He's making an impact. Editorials all up and down the state are just denouncing this project. For every one editorial in favor, I don't know, there's got to be 8 or 10 that are opposed. And therefore, I think we have a true groundswell of public opinion that once people finally realized how they got hoodwinked, they're wanting to take action. And by the way, one other thing, if listeners want to know more, they can go to Assemblywoman Diane Harkey's website. She's got a little thing there called California High-Speed Rail, Separating the Myth from Reality. That's a link to click. And the beautiful thing about Diane Harkey's article here is she compares what was promised in 2008 with the reality today on, it's only about 8 or 10 pages long. But once you read that, you realize we really have been hoodwinked.
It is stunning that they, you know, the thing that's funny that I've noticed about the California legislature in general and some of the legislators in particular is that they cling to these ideas, and they actually, I ask the senator all the time about some of the stupid bills they pass, and I say, well, when they're actually on the floor talking about, I guess I should tune into the Cal Channel. I guess I'm busy representing people who are being crushed by the government, so I don't have time to do that. But I got to watch some of these hearings myself. But I ask him, what do they say? Like, are they sincere about it? Do they just laugh up their sleeve? Do they just say,
do they really believe in it?
Like, we're going to pass it anyway. What are you guys going to say about it? I mean, he said some of them, honestly, they truly believe this stuff. And they live in an alternate universe, in my opinion. I mean, they just no connection with reality, no connection with what it's going to do to the people in the state. I don't even understand that.
You know what it's going to do to the people in the state? I think that's the perfect way for me to wrap this up and tie together businesses leaving with high-speed rail. I talked earlier in the program about how high taxes in California basically were the worst in the country on most indices, except in a couple of cases were tied with New York and New Jersey, nothing to be proud of. But that's existing taxes. The future tax increases are going to hit businesses in a number of ways. Businesses are going to be expected to bail out the unemployment insurance fund, which most Californians don't even know is insolvent right now by about $10 billion. We have excessive borrowing from the disability insurance fund. Now, with high-speed rail, we'll have future bond carrying costs that hits the treasury of about $900 million to $1 billion every year. The only way the governor and the legislature can afford to pay for all this is to increase taxes. Who are they going to increase taxes on the most? Businesses. So I say this high-speed rail program alone will create a financial albatross, another one, on businesses in California that will only serve to motivate more to leave because they have to leave. if they want to save their business.
And that's just what we need. We need more people to leave, so there's fewer jobs available, less revenue.
It's going to be really interesting.
I mean, that's going to help everybody.
You know, when this thing really comes to a head, it's going to be interesting to see the government employees start to feed off of each other, because anybody in the private sector, anybody with a business, anybody with a brain will be long gone.
Exactly. Hey, we only have 30 seconds left. We've got to say bye to Joe. Joe Vranich, guys. I hope you hit the website and check out his webpage. It is awesome. Thank you, Joe. Have a great one.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Hey, folks, we'll see you at the Spotted Owl meeting if you're in Reading tomorrow, 3 to 5 or 6 to 8 at the convention center. Check out the website. Next week. See ya. Let's go,
America. There's a battle. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, special guest Joe Vranich. And thank you, America. Don Shulman is next here on KCNR Shasta Reading. This has been We the People.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. His bond revoked. George Zimmerman, who faces second-degree murder charges in the shooting of Florida teen Trayvon Martin, has until 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time to turn himself in.
That's after prosecutors presented evidence showing Zimmerman didn't disclose some $200,000 given to him online by supporters, resulting in a lower bond. While Zimmerman's attorney says his actions were inadvertent, prosecutors say jailhouse phone conversations show Zimmerman and his wife talking in code about the money.
Fox's Anna Koyman, making ends meet on the minds of many Americans and a concerned voice by politicians on the Sunday news shows.
Unemployment has gone up. We have 500,000 Americans lost their jobs. The largest debt.
Ohio Republican Governor John Kasich blaming the president on NBC's Meet the Press. President Obama's campaign advisor David Axelrod says Republicans in Congress are blocking efforts.